Today is from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 25th through the 34th verse. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. Now, at Holy Family School, we do a call and response. See, when I say God is good, you all say all the time, God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. I want you to look at the person next to you. That's your neighbor. Just look at them and say, neighbor, God loves you. And I do too. Give you a little taste of Holy Family. Give them a high five. Can we high five in church? Is that all right? I want you to feel how we do at Holy Family School and in chapel. We talk to one another. We sing because we're happy. The children are singing because they are free. They understand that God is watching the sparrow, so he must be watching me. Can I just take a moment and say, that song was incredible. That was some soul. Can we give them another round? Oh my goodness, I was ready to preach right then. So to get into the text for the day, to get into the message, but also so that you would understand what would happen at a typical Holy Family chapel, I want to share something I wrote. I do spoken word poetry, and I'm a storyteller as a way of ministering and getting that message out. So there's a piece that I want to share with you because I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I know that clothes and food and drink and all of those things will be provided, but there are some other things that are going on in there too. What about the pain of the past? Has anyone here ever been hurt by someone or offended? I know we're a little afraid, you know. Are we supposed to raise our hand? If you're brave enough, then raise your hand. I'll raise both of mine. I've been there, and we've been told to forgive and to forget. That's easier said than done. We get to the forgiveness part. I'll forgive them. I'll let it go. But we have this thing called a memory. And the thing that happened maybe even years ago comes back to visit us fresh one morning. And it feels like it just happened all over again. I did not feel free, Pastor. I didn't know how to get the pep in my step again. Some things that had happened, they came back and I felt like I was in bondage all over again. But I know that if I ask, I shall receive. If I seek, that I'll find. If I knock, the door will be open unto me. And I did just that through a pencil and a piece of paper. And I began to write this piece, and I want to share with you what God gave me as he watched me and kept his eye on what was going on in my life. See, I recall many times being hurt. And the infection of recollection makes things worse. The thought of being violated gets me steaming hot, and it's a permanent part of my memory, whether I like it or not. Now I wish I could erase it or misplace it, but I can't, so I face it. And when I'm done, remember good things to chase it down as I swallow, but my belly feels hollow from a hole left by that pain I borrowed. Straight from the past hurts worse than bad gas. A feeling that's killing me and it won't pass. It just lasts until at last I'm through with it. I let it go and don't care what happened and who did it. It's over. It's finished. Can't fix it or mend it. Why stay here suspended, offended? Let's end it. So I send it back to its home for where it came. But that trip is short because that home is my brain. So the bitter residue of shame is baggage unclaimed. And I remain in the same pain unchanged. But I've got to get rid of it, but I keep it, so I must love it. I can't shove it, rise above it, and I can't help but think of it. And you may sit there and wonder and ask me, what is it? It's that deep, dark tunnel I hate to revisit. It's that thing he did or that thing she said. It's that bad situation still stuck in my head. The time when I was ridiculed, laughed at, taunted, criticized, accused, misused, and unwanted, left out, put down, patronized, neglected, lied on, spied on, belittled, disrespected, intellectually, emotionally, mentally insulted, attacked, yes, invisibly, physically assaulted. This intense offense makes no sense. I'm convinced, and I can't help but hurt when I'm trespassed against. But I want to move on. Pastor, I want to forgive, because pain in one's heart is no way to live, because hurt leads to hate, and hate equals danger. But it's hard to let go when there's justified anger. But let go I must if I choose to be free. If I don't let it go, it won't let go of me. But how do I do it? What makes me release it? How do I get rid of what he did and she said? When the pain has occurred, then it's stuck in existence. To survive, must I hide and live life in resistance? Always defensive, unsure, apprehensive. That life is not right. It's uptight and expensive. To hide from my thoughts, ignore what I know. To feel like a victim, but not let it show. And the person who did it, sometimes they don't get it. How can I show mercy when they can't admit it? Admit you were wrong. Now that just might please me. Own up to your fault, that would make my job easy. Forgiveness would flow. Then I could let it go. Extinguish that burn, but it's still on their terms. What if they don't feel sorry? What if they don't fess up? What if they just don't care? Then I guess I'm just messed up and I'm stuck in my anger. That painful position. So I've learned to forgive without any conditions. Not based on their actions, their kindness, or hardness, but based on God's love, I will love them regardless, like Christ did for me. By his blood, I was bought. He died for my sin, though my sin was my fault. So now I'm forgiven for the times that I blew it. My debt has been paid because he chose to do it. And now from his mercy, I find myself free. I'll now give to others what God gave to me. The ones who have hurt me, I set free at last. I'll leave all that nonsense and pain in my past. But if it comes back and stares me in my face, I'll tell it that grace has taken its place. I'm no longer trapped. I can live with new energy. Content with my thoughts, I have peace with my memory. Renewed in my mind, I can be more reflective. I remember those things, but with a brand new perspective. Now, it doesn't mean they weren't wrong, because they were. That's the truth. But they can now be made right, and grace is my proof. So the ones who have hurt me, I now see their need. I'll look at each person as God looks at me. God looks with his love, and with his love I can see. And when I see as he does, then that makes me free. Amen. And because I'm free, I sing. I sing because I'm happy. I can now sing because I'm free. Truly, his eye is on the sparrow. And yes, he's watching me even in moments like that. But now what do I do? Ha ha. Now that I'm free. As I sing. And is singing limited to what I do with my voice? Ooh, brother trying to get deep. Is there music in the way I move? Is there a melody in the way that I treat other people? Is there singing that comes out in the form of service? Because I'm free, not just to, now don't get me wrong, it's good to just sing, but what does singing mean? Because now I'm called to go out and share the good news and tell somebody, hey, guess what? You know how when there's something on sale, I see my mom and my aunties, they do it all the time. When they get something on sale and they get something for free and they get so excited, they can't wait to tell her, girl, you need to go down to JCPenney. I'm telling you, they passed it. You know what I mean? They just want to tell. So, come on now. It's not just in my neighborhood. Am I right about it? When you get good news, when you get good news, you want to share that thing. And so I want to share that thing. I have a friend, I haven't talked to him in a while, but I remember he told me a story. See, it's important that we don't miss the moment. And as a minister of the gospel, I'm excited. I want people to see Jesus. I want them to know that he's watching them and they don't have to worry and that he loves them, that they're saved by grace through faith. I've got all that bottled up. My friend was the same way. He says, Leslie, I was out one day doing God's work. Now, my friend is of a different denomination. And what they did, they passed out what you call a tracts. Does anyone know what a tract is? It's the piece of paper that says, the Lord loves you and come to Jesus. You know what I mean? Right? And I mean, that's where he's from. I mean, I'm Lutheran. Bum, 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 bum. We don't do tracts, but I understand where he's coming from. And he's living from a place of freedom and he wants to do God's work and I want to do God's work and we're both on the same page. He says, but Leslie, something happened one day that I want to tell you about. I said, well, tell me what happened. He says, I was out doing God's work and I was feeling good, even singing, because I know that I'm free and I know the good news is real and it's mine and I want to share it with somebody. So I was passing out these tracts. I went over here and I saw some. I said, Jesus loves you. I found someone else and I had a track and I said, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. He says, and then I saw a man. He was bent over into a dumpster looking for food. Obviously, he was homeless. He was hungry. He was looking for food. And I said, ah, here's an opportunity to share the love of Christ. I went over to him. Proud to be doing God's work. I tapped him on the shoulder. Leslie, he turned and looked at me, kind of like, what do you want? He says to me, Leslie, I handed him a tract and I said, Jesus loves you. And I gave it to him and I walked away. And I felt so good that I had shared, y'all already know where I'm going. I shared the good news. I shared the truth that God loves him. And he says, Leslie, I can't believe it didn't hit me. Not yet. I got in the car and I was still driving away feeling proud of what I'd done. And then the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I said, what happened? He says, it finally hit me. There was a man that was bent over into a dumpster looking for food. And I gave him a piece of paper that says, Jesus loves you. He said, Leslie, I was so broken inside. I can't believe I missed the moment. Did my friend intend to miss the moment? No, he didn't. And I can tell you the truth. Sometimes I miss the moment, and I don't mean to. I mean well, but sometimes we do. That's why we need eyes, spiritual eyes to see so that we know what's really going on. He says, Leslie, I prayed in that moment. God, if you'll give me a second chance, I'll go back and I'll get it right. He turned around. He went back and the man was still in the dumpster digging for food. He says, yes, I have a chance to really show him that Jesus loves him. I went over and tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and looked at me. He's like, you again? He says, yes, sir. And if you're hungry, come with me and I'll give you something to eat. And the man agreed. My friend says he got in the car and he had to roll the windows down because the smell was so strong. But isn't it interesting that the man was stinky, but it was my friend who was really foul? They drove, I think he said, to McDonald's. He let him order whatever he wanted. You know, sometimes people are shy when you or get, like, eat what you want. They kind of eat, that's all I want. He said, this brother was not shy. I mean, he was eating and elbows up and like, you're going to eat that? I'll take that too. And he was just really going in. And when he was done, my friend said, he looked at me. He said, now you were trying to tell me something. He says, I'm all ears now. I couldn't hear you before because my stomach was growling too loudly. He says, right about now, you can tell me about Jesus, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Because you have my attention. And before you tell me about the love of Christ, you've already set the stage. I've seen up close and personal the love of Christ. Now what do you have to say? Amen. See, I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he's watching me. And because he's watching me, I now need to allow him to use my eyes to watch other people. Because when I'm watching other people, loving and caring for them, guess what? He's watching them through me. I'm going to close real soon, but there's a story I just cannot close this sermon without sharing. Something that my wife shared with me some years ago, and it stuck with me. My wife works for she used to work for the Lutheran magazine. She now works for the Women of the ELCA Gather magazine. And she writes, she just actually came back from Tanzania for 17 days, and that was something. That jet lag was a trip. Oh, man. And so, but when we first got married back in the day, she took a trip to a place called Sierra Leone during the time of the diamonds crisis. Does anyone remember that time when it was in the news like every day and there was so much drama and trauma going on? And to control the diamonds, there was one group that was, they were hacking off the limbs of the citizens, even little babies. My wife met so many people. There's one picture in the magazine, in the Lutheran magazine, of a little baby girl whose arm is gone. I said, sweetheart, what happened? Yeah, they cut her mother's arm off and hers too to invoke fear and terror. I was like, whoa. She shared many a story, and she had a great experience, and she learned a lot. She wrote from what she learned. But there's one story she told me that I want to close with. As a writer, she also takes her camera with her. And even though writing is the real gift that she's good at, she was getting pretty good at taking pictures. She was getting pretty good at capturing the moment. She was taking a tour with a woman by the name of Doris. Doris was kind of like her guide. And she took her through towns and villages and introduced her to people. And then Doris took my wife to a place where her home used to be. I mean, there was still rubble and shards of wood and things piled up on and burnt. But there was no longer a home, just a wreck. She took my wife and she says, here, Elizabeth, here was my kitchen. I would cook the meals right here for my family. And over here, here's where I did sewing. And over here, if you look, here's where, and she was just kind of going through, matter of fact. And my wife said she came to a point in the tour of what used to be her home where she broke down and began to cry. The memories and the pain overcame her. It just overtook her, and she began to weep from deep in her belly. And there in the middle of that wreck, what used to be her home, my wife said, I saw her hands up like this, and some of the ash in her face, the tears went through and made streaks down like that, and the shards of wood were coming up. She says, I'm not the best photographer, but when I saw that, I never seen an image like that. The pain and the beauty and the ugliness, and it was all right there. This was one of those award-winning shots. My wife told me, she says, Leslie, I get emotional thinking about it. She says, I saw it and I wanted to capture the moment. But I saw Doris crying and in tears. And my wife did something I'll never forget. She made me so proud. She took her camera from around her neck and she sat it down on the ground. And she captured the moment. And she went over to Doris and she embraced her and they cried together. She says, "Leslie, you'll never see that picture. I never took it." I said, "No, you did. It's not on film. It's in my heart." And I began to cry. "I'm so proud of you that you had eyes to see what ministry is. It's not even always having the answer. Sometimes it's just being with your brother or being with your sister when they're hurting, when they're going through." Oh, I was so proud of her. I said, "May I have eyes to see when that kind of ministry is needed? May I not miss the moment." Oh, I'm excited and I'm singing, I'm free. But I want to share that freedom with others that they might also have healing and be free as well. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow and I know he watches me. I close with this statement I heard some years ago. Preach the gospel at all times. And when necessary, use words. Amen.